All right. Good morning, everybody. Today, we are speaking with Lauren from Acosta in Charlotte, North Carolina, Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're very excited to have you on. Start by just introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about you.
Sure. I am the president of Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My father actually started the business in 1972. So we've been around now for 54 years. My dad has probably one of the cooler, if not coolest, origin stories of how he started the business and how he even made it here to the U.S. And my parents are both actually from Cuba. They're immigrants that came in the late 50s, early 60s, when Castro had first taken over Cuba. There was like a brief period in time where Cubans were allowed to leave the country, but the restriction was you could leave, but you could only take 3 changes of clothes with you and $200. And the way that got enforced is you would have to declare that you were leaving. You would go to the airport 24, 48 hours in advance. Oh, I skipped that they would inventory your house and go into the airport the 24 or 48 hours in advance was so that they could re-inventory your house and make sure that nothing was missing. And then my dad, he was 12 years old at the time. And so he was leaving with his mom and his dad, and they had gone to the airport in advance as is required. And my grandfather had sold his car to pay for the plane tickets. And so they would not let them leave. So my grandfather said to his wife and my dad, hey, just go on without me. I'll figure this out with them and I'll get on the next flight. No one knew at the time that my dad and my grandmother were on the very last flight out of Cuba, because the next day the Cuban Missile Crisis started and there were no more flights. That was it. There was no more opportunities to leave.
Wow.
So my dad and his mom, they were here by themselves. And my grandmother had an uncle in Newark, New Jersey. So they started in Newark, New Jersey. And my dad went to 8th grade in Newark. And at the time, everyone was under the assumption that all of these Cuban refugees were just going to be here for a short period of time. Kennedy, the president at the time, would be able to get rid of Castro and everybody would be able to go back home. So the 8th grade class that my dad went to in Newark was just a class full of about 40 other Cuban refugees. And they just taught the class in Spanish. They were just like, there's no point in teaching these kids English. They're not going to be here that long. And after about a year in Newark, my grandmother had some other family that had come here to Charlotte, North Carolina. And they had landed here in Charlotte because there was a sock factory, like a hosiery plant, because the cotton was still very big here in the Carolinas at that time in the 60s. And there was a Cuban gentleman, who had been able to immigrate a little bit before the complete communist takeover and was able to start a hosiery plant here in Charlotte and had made like this unofficial public service announcement that if you're Cuban and you need a job, come to Charlotte. And bless you. And that's actually how my parents met, because they each had family members that were working at the sock factory here in Charlotte. And And so my dad came to visit his uncle, who had gotten a job at this factory and had just come to visit for a week or two over the summer break. And rang back to his mom back in Newark and was like, Charlotte is way nicer than Newark. We should move to Charlotte. And very soon after that, they moved here to Charlotte. And because it was just my dad and his mom, my dad just went to work, just started working. Yeah. And he had a little bit of a small little part-time job at this hosiery plant. But the gentleman that owned the hosiery plant noticed that my dad was pretty good at fixing things. And so he liked to tinker with things. And that gentleman told my dad that the local community college, Central Piedmont Community College, was starting up an HVAC program and it was going to be the wave of the future and that he should go in this program. And so my dad goes, and there was an entrance exam to get into the program and he had passed it. They let him in without having given them or shown them that he has a school diploma or a GED or any of these things. So he's taken this college course. It's about a 2-year program. He finishes the program and they're like, oh, by the way, we just need a copy of your GED or your high school degree. And he explained to them he didn't have one of those. And he worked out a deal with the school. They let him go like an extra year to get his GED. So they poke fun of him that he went to college before he went to high school. But nonetheless, he at that time would have been around the late 60s. And there wasn't much in the Charlotte area in the way of like air conditioning companies or air conditioning programs, but there was lots of refrigeration companies. And so that's where my dad started, was doing refrigeration work for grocery stores and restaurants and stuff like that, working for other companies. Then when my dad was about 20 or 21 years old, his father was finally able to make it to the U.S. And the story's a little fuzzy, for me at least, of how he was able to make it. But he was able to figure out a way to get to Mexico. And from Mexico, he was able to make it to the U.S. And he finally made it here. And my dad, my grandfather, really was pressing it upon my dad that we're here in the U.S. We have this opportunity. You really should start your own business. We never be able to do that back in Cuba, under the way things are. And so my grandfather helped my dad turn what was a window of their house into a separate entrance. And he started what at that time was the Acosta Air Conditioning Company. And he, And in the beginning, the business was just adding air conditioning to homes, because so many homes in the Charlotte area time in the 70s just didn't have air conditioning. They had heat, but they didn't have air conditioning. And so that was the big start of his business, was adding air conditioning to homes. And then in the 80s, he got his electrical license. So it enabled him to be able to do a little bit of electrical work as well. And then he also got introduced in the 80s to the idea of like service agreements or routine maintenance plans. And still to this day, even retired from the business, he's very passionate about maintenance agreements and about them. And because it really was such a big thing that helped to sustain the business year-round, having that reoccurring revenue. I was always around the business as a kid. He had me answering phones, filing, all those sorts of things. And then when I graduated high school, I went off to college and I did my own thing for about 6 years. And then he offered me a job to come back and do sales for him. And he made me go to school all over again. He made me go to Central Piedmont and take HVAC classes. He sent me, at the time we were really big train dealers, he sent me to Tyler, Texas for 3 weeks to learn how the equipment's made, how to sell it. And I was on that side of the business for many years. So from 2008 through about 2015, that was the primary part of the business that I was in, was on the sales side. A customer called us and said, hey, I want a new system, and or one of our technicians had gone to a customer's house and recommended that they look at replacing the system instead of trying to repair it for XYZ reasons, I would be one of the people that would go out and go in their crawl space, go in their attic, whatever, figure out what was going on and present them with some options to replace their system. And so it was helpful to me to be a female in that role, because there was plenty of times that I was meeting with the women of the home, and I was able to really focus on, you know, comfort. And that really helped me to be successful, was because one of the things that definitely gets missed if you don't talk about it is, if all we do is change the boxes, right? If all we do is just change the air conditioner and change the furnace, and we don't address wherever in your home you're having discomfort, you'll probably save a little bit on your energy bills, right? Because you're going to have a newer, more efficient system, but you're not necessarily going to be more comfortable. And so if you're making this big investment, let's figure out where in your home it's, you're not comfortable, and figure out how we can make it comfortable for you.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And so I was on that side of the business when I met my husband and we started a family. So I was still crawling across spaces until I couldn't fit.
My goodness.
Yeah. With my first son, who's now 14 now. With my first son, it was everyone around me that was like, okay, you really need to stop climbing on ladders. You need to go.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
No. Yeah.
With my second son, who's now 12, I distinctly remember the crawl space when I was like, oh, yeah.
Hey. I'm done.
I had to like squeeze myself in between some duct work to get to the equipment. Yeah. And then I like turned around. It's crawl space. You're literally crawling.
Sure.
And I turn around in the crawl space. I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to get back through there. And I figured out a way to crawl.
Wiggle out.
Yeah. I had to crawl the whole perimeter of the crawl space to find another opening and figure it out. But I made it. I'm here. Yeah.
Wow. So when did you step into this role?
Around 2015 or so, my dad had given me the title Junior Vice President was my title.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. And in 2019 is when my dad retired and moved me into the role of president.
Is amazing. Yeah. What an absolutely incredible story.
Yeah.
And I do love all the aspects of that story are just absolutely incredible. Coming from Cuba and then your grandfather really catching that American dream and seeing it and seeing the opportunity and encouraging your dad at such a young age, especially.
Yeah.
And the fact that he did college before finishing high school is also very special. But you did touch on something also that I think is really important, and that's the female aspect of it and being the power that holds in your role, especially.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's the wives and the mothers answering the door a lot of the time. And so that builds that trust and that confidence. And what a cool story. What an amazing thing to share. And I appreciate you diving into it like that with me. So at this time, you do heating, cooling, and electrical. What is your target market, would you say? What is your ideal customer?
Yeah, so we don't do any new construction work. We do pretty much no remodel work. We're pretty narrowly focused on homeowners within a 30-mile radius of the Charlotte area it's our preference to work with homeowners versus property management companies.
Sure.
Just add so many layers of confusion and frustration. Our target customer, like when we're coming up with our marketing plan, is that we're targeting like decision makers, right?
Yeah.
So we do some commercial work, but it tends to be more smaller commercial spaces and more of those sort of small businesses where we're able to deal directly with those decision makers on whatever it is we can do to help them.
For sure. Yeah, that does make it a lot easier, a lot less communication required and quicker decision.
Yeah. And we're in a market where it is easier to target owner-occupied structures. There are other markets in the Carolinas where there's a lot of rental properties. And not to say there's not in here in Charlotte, but it is something that we ideally are looking for is owner-occupied.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, let's touch a little bit on your marketing. What efforts are you actively involved with right now for your marketing? Everything from traditional to digital, what exactly are you dialed into right now?
Yeah, we do some broadcast TV, and we are targeting the shows and the times of days that are ideal for us. So at this time today, it is morning news, right? That has the most consistent amount of eyeballs in our demographics. So right now, when it comes to broadcast TV, we're pretty narrowly focused on morning news. And we do on occasion do some like weather sponsorships with cast stations. Currently, we're just working with two stations right now. And then we do some over-the-top television through Hulu and some pre-roll on YouTube. From the digital aspect, we definitely are still giving Google plenty of our dollars for PPC and local service ads. I definitely value making sure that we're staying in communication with our existing customers. Two or three of the ways that we do that is obviously with some email marketing. I was actually meeting with our CSR manager earlier in the weekend, and she really liked the idea of doing like newsletters and just any way to help to get more calls on the board.
Yeah.
And she made a comment of a weekly newsletter. And I laughed a little because I was like, you know, our customers love us, but they don't want to get a weekly newsletter from their heating and cooling company, from their electrical company. Quarterly is plenty when it comes to something like that. But we definitely use text messaging, especially for customers to remind them of when they're due for their next service.
For
we
sure.
get a ton of great interaction and feedback from customers when we're sending those reminders via email, via text message. Hey, it's time to schedule your service. Click this link. We try and make it as easy as possible because they can't schedule straight from our website, and it ties directly into our live dispatch board and gives them like real time availability of when we can actually come.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so that is certainly a differentiator that we like to make, is that we are easy to do business with. And we have to be transparent. We don't do anything without telling the customer how much it's going to be. We're not turning any wrenches before anybody knows what the price is.
Of course, yeah.
We always do like upfront pricing. And to that extent, right, we even offer pricing on our website for system replacements.
Yeah.
So if somebody is looking at how much it was going to be to replace a system, they're going to get a really good idea from our website of some good, better, best options of what it would be to replace.
Yeah, that's very important for that comfort level. It can be intimidating. It's not, it's typically not a small amount of money that someone has to invest. And so it's great if they can make that informed decision and have that opportunity to do the research on their end before making a decision.
Yeah, one of the things I have heard, I don't know if the statistic holds true today, but I certainly have heard that previously when it comes to a system replacement, which is a bigger investment in your home, that homeowners are typically only doing that once or twice in their lifetime. So the information or the knowledge gap of what they need to look at or what are the options, like, is pretty big. Trying to be as transparent as possible is where we like to be on that spectrum.
Yeah, it really sounds like you have it dialed in terms of what customers and clients need to make that decision and feel comfortable. So it sounds like you're really in tune with that. And so spot on there.
Yeah.
But what about any more? What's that?
I like to think about it like as myself, right? Like I'm a millennial, right? So I certainly am going to very frequently Google how to do something, right? And just similarly, I know that my friends, my peers, right? When they're wanting to get something, they're Googling how much does it cost, right? And I want to make sure that our website is relevant for that, has that information for how much a new system would be, right?
Yeah.
And like on that side of with customers that we having that sort of comfort level, if somebody like myself is showing up at their door, right? I certainly have plenty of females within our business. All of our technicians and electricians are not females. So one of the ways that I want to be able to have a little bit more trust for our customers when we're heading to their house is they're going to get like a notification when we go to dispatch their home. They're going to get a notification via text and via email of, hey, we're on the way. And hey, here's a picture of the person that's coming. And here's
I love that. Yeah.
So that it builds that trust. And I have heard from countless people that is something they really appreciate about doing business with us is knowing who is coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who are they opening their home to, essentially?
Yeah.
Very important. Yeah. What about anything on the more, do you do any direct mail? Do you do lawn signs, door hangers?
My employees will tell you that the quickest way to see my hair catch on fire is for me to pull up to a job site and we don't have a yard sign out.
Yeah.
That is something that actually they will get mad.
Okay.
I pull up to a job and we don't have a yard sign out. Yard signs are, they're not free, obviously free.
Yep.
But they are such a powerful piece of marketing because it just adds that level of trust of, hey, my neighbor used that company.
Yeah.
And they're obviously decent enough to do business with that they didn't pull that thing straight out of their yard as soon as that company left. Like the fact that they're leaving it in their yard in itself speaks volumes.
100%.
That's amazing. So I'm really passionate about yard signs. We have door hangers. We could absolutely be better at using them or consistently. Yeah. And we do direct mail. I don't really do any direct mail from a prospecting style.
Okay.
But we definitely use direct mail to our existing customers.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah. And in terms of growth, you've been around for so long. Let's look at, say, the last 10 years. But what type of growth have you seen over the last 10 years? And what would you attribute a large part of that growth, or where did you see the largest amount of growth in that period of time?
Yeah. So in the last 10 years, 10 years ago, we were about a $5 million business. Today, we're a little over a $10 million business. So we've doubled in size in the last 10 years. Certainly part of that is on the electrical side. We've grown for the early years of our electrical business. It really was just so that we didn't have to sub out when we're replacing somebody's conditioner.
Yeah.
We can handle ourselves all of the high voltage, low voltage connections when we're doing a system replacement.
Yeah.
But in 2019, we really actually dove into having an electrical department. And that includes panels and outlets. But also another big thing is generators. Being able to do full home generators has definitely been a value add for our business and for our customers.
That is amazing. How many technicians are you at today?
So we have 13 HVAC service technicians. We have 4 electricians and 3 installation crews.
Incredible. That is so cool. And what is something you've tried that hasn't really worked that you thought this is going to be great and you gave it a full shot and then realized it just didn't work for you? If anything at all, there might be nothing.
I remodel work for sure. Okay. When times are slower, it's the leaner part of the year and it's not summertime and everybody's wild and crazy, we're backed out days and days. We've attempted some remodel work. And the part of it that just doesn't fit us very well is that everything we do as a business is structured to do projects that are like 3 days or less. Everything about our accounting, our follow-up process, everything is really structured for, hey, if we're coming to replace your air conditioner, we're going to replace your air conditioner, take it out, put in the new one, and get you up and running that same day, right?
Yeah. Like,
we're doing everything in one day. And then all a reasonable project might take a couple of days is if that particular home has more than one system or they're also doing ductwork, right? But again, we're always leaving that customer with heating or leaving that customer with cooling, right?
It's
a one or 2 day project. But remodel work, you're waiting on subs, there's other people and
lots of moving parts.
Yeah. And so many other uncontrollable pieces that don't really fit our model.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
If you were to talk to somebody that is just on the fence or stepping into the space and thinking about jumping out on their own, or wanting to really, really grow their business, what piece of advice would you give them? This is, if there's one thing you have to do, or what would you recommend that they really dial into?
Yeah. One of the things that is different, per se, about HVAC versus electrical or plumbing work, right? When you have an electrician or a plumber, you don't necessarily need as many people to complete a project, right? So what I mean by that is that an electrician can identify that a panel is not functional or needs to be upgraded and do all of that himself or herself, right? Like they can do a panel replacement, they can find the problem, present it to the customer, sell it to the customer, and do the work all in one day and by one person. Yeah. Whereas HVAC is different and it does require different departments. You need service technicians that are skilled at all the different types of HVAC equipment that are out there. Sure. Diagnose it, effectively present that to a customer. But then when it gets to the point where you need to be talking to that customer or you are presenting to that customer that they should consider a replacement, you then need another person that's skilled at identifying what's it going to take to get the right system back in here? Yeah. Somebody that's trained on how to do load calculations to make sure that we're putting in the right size piece of equipment back into that. Yeah. And then that knows all of the financing options and rebates, right? So it takes another person, a comfort consultant or a salesperson to do that. And then lastly, you need an installation crew, right? That is really skilled, has all of the tools, the experience of being able to pull out the old equipment, put in the new equipment, and get it started all in that same time.
Coming prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just knowing all the aspects of each service is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, unfortunately, when it comes to HVAC, it's a bigger investment. It's a bigger sort of, it's a tougher trade to start compared to some of the others.
Okay. Totally makes sense. And I appreciate that insight. That's for sure. Yeah. In closing, I just want to say thank you so much for doing this with us today. It's a great, what an amazing story to tell. And we are so thankful to be working with you and seeing this progress and watching you get excited and grow. So appreciate you and thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. So I'll stop recording. Okay. I always at this point, not always, but oftentimes will close the meeting accidentally.